Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And online, every Wednesday evening.
What?
Yes, it is a thing. If you missed the episode earlier in the day, check us out after 6 o'clock on Wednesdays.
Aw, good job, Megan.
I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Just like how I also play video games. I'm keeping up with that, too.
Good job.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Eh. So, yes, on this show, we talk about video games. Because...
What?
Yeah, sometimes we do.
Oh.
And sometimes...
I hope not. No. Yeah. Because sometimes we like video games.
Sometimes we even play video games.
I also played a video game, which for me, like, I haven't finished one in a while, but...
We both did good this
I'm
week.
I'm just busy. You are busy.
You're allowed to be busy.
If I wasn't busy, then I would probably... I bought a bunch of games as well, because I could.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. You're allowed to buy video games.
Yeah, I have a job, so I can buy them now.
See, that's the trick, is you need a job to buy video games, but you don't have time to play video games because you have a job.
That's harsh.
I know.
It's a harsh reality.
It's so harsh. So, please tell me about this video game that you beat.
Okay, so I beat Amori, which I said I would do.
You did.
I did. I beat it last night. So Amori is a kickstarted RPG maker style game. It features... I would say it most reminds me of Earthbound and then also Yume Nikki, which is a indie game that I think it was a cult thing, and then it's actually available on Steam for free right now if you are interested. But there are, especially in sort of the last half of Amori, not maybe last half, but last like fourth of Amori, there is quite heavy Yume Nikki references. And then I think Earthbound in sort of the style of the fighting, which I've sort of mentioned, it very much, it's your typical JRPG where you have your attack, you can run, but also it has an emotion system, which I've sort of touched on, which is like sad, anger, and happiness. And it's like, I related it to Pokemon, right?
Right.
Where it's fire strong against leaf. Leaf is strong against water. Water strong against fire. That's the cycle, how it goes. Same thing with the emotions.
Right.
I couldn't remember which was strong against which, so I had to have the little chart pulled up just in case. And I still can't tell you because I feel if I say it right now, I'll be wrong. So this game was kickstarted 2014. 13? 14. 14 sounds legit. and it came out in December 25th, 2020. It was delayed a couple times, and I think it was a good choice to delay it. It was probably, like, to think about the fact that there is so much in the game. So I beat it. I got the good ending.
Right. And I got to watch you play the last little bit of it.
Yes, and I would say, like, I'm gonna, at one point I will go into pretty larger spoilers, but for right now, like, I'm going to just summarize sort of what I feel and how I felt about it. One thing I do know before that is that there are multiple ways to play this game, and I know once you beat it one way for the first time, you can unlock this other route called the... It's either called the Amori route or the Hikamori route. And this is... One of the aspects in the game is there's sort of a real world and a dream world. The dream world is where you spend most of the game. And the real world is sort of... There is some sort of battle mechanics in the real world, and there is some of that, but it is mostly sort of exposition for the most part.
Right.
So, the Hikamori route, basically, you do not interact with people in the real world. So, you become a shut-in. And I believe that term, it is a term for, like, people who are shut-in, who don't really socialize. There are different things in the game that will happen based on this. Now, apparently, if you choose that route, there's, like, a large amount of things that will open up. So, despite me beating the game, and I put, like, I want to say, like, 20... five hours into this game.
You've been playing it for a while.
Yeah, like, I've been, like, you know, kind of, not grinding, but I've been, like, going pretty hard at it, trying, because I didn't want to get spoiled for the ending, because I knew I would be if I looked further or looked deeper into it, so I was like, I'm gonna stay away from stuff that will potentially spoil me, and I will just go on my merry way. And to be honest, like, I had gathered certain things that had happened, but, and so this is where I'm going to get into spoiler territory, the ending did actually very much shock me. And because there were obviously things that I thought. So there are six sort of main characters. There's Omori / Sunny. Omori is sort of the dream version of Sunny and almost like a manifestation that Sunny is made to protect himself from realizing certain truths. There's Basil, who is a friend of Sunny's, / Omori. You don't really... He's not, like, a playable character. He is actually sort of the impetus for the dream world. He's gone missing. And so that's what you're doing in the dream world, is you're going around and trying to find him.
Okay.
There's your sister named Mari. Mari consistently is... She's like your save hub. She also will restore your health. She usually is on a picnic blanket. Her picnic basket is the save for the game.
Okay.
Like, that's where you save. I caught on pretty early that Mari wasn't alive. Like, because... Just the way that she was not really a part of the main party.
Right.
And she consistently... She was always at this one spot. And I was pretty... You know, I was pretty sure that she wasn't alive. I'm correct. In the real world, you find out very early that she's not. As soon as you get to the real world, you do realize that Mari is dead or gone.
Something happened to Mari.
Yeah. So the other characters are Aubrey, Cal, and Hero. And those are your characters that are part of your party. Aubrey has a baseball bat or something to hit people with. Kel is a ball. Hero, I don't really know. Oh, he has like a spatula. He's some kind of cooking. He cooks for you. And he's kind of the healer, kind of. I didn't utilize a healer properly, I don't think. Like, there are mechanics in this game that I don't think I quite understood. And even to the fact that I don't think there are things that I got to, obviously. Like, as I was telling you, so with this other route, there's about three other worlds I haven't been to, which is pretty, like, that's pretty large, like, if you consider sort of a map in a JRPG. Like, I haven't been to a map. I haven't been to three maps, about.
That's a huge chunk of the game that...
Yes, and there are even things, like, you can do stuff afterwards, well, not afterwards, but, like, before completing the game. Like, it has this sort of... I don't want to say a day system, but this is sort of how it tracks the progress. Like, in the real world, Sunny is moving, and he has 3 days before he moves, and this is sort of how the time moves, or how the game progresses, right?
Right.
It's his three-day system. And it's not really a day system, like, it's just you do the things, and then the day ends, right? It's
like a chapter system?
Yeah, to an extent. So yeah, I'm gonna try to not spoil much of what, but obviously, we knew that Omori / Sunny was upset or something. There's something to do with his sister, right? And you do find this out, and once again, I'm not gonna say exactly what happens, because obviously we already know that Mari's dead. And as we go along, it is suspected that she took her own life. Like, that is what we assume has happened.
Right.
So
it deals with some pretty heavy stuff.
Absolutely. I would say it very much at the beginning, it has a very big warning about what themes that this game is going to go over, which is, like, depression, themes of suicide, self-harm. There's quite a bit in it, and to an extent that it is, I think... It's not visually confusing, but I think it can be taken away a little bit by the cutesy nature of RPG Maker.
Right.
But I think they managed to get around this because there is so much sort of like hand-drawn bits to this that obviously I think you can think of like children's drawings can be very scary, right? So I think they utilize a lot of this sort of hand-drawn animation, hand-drawn scenes that... really, really help, like, the horror of the game. Because, once again, I showed you the game, and I'm like, I don't really know where the horror aspect is of it. And I don't know if I'd actually consider this a horror video game.
Could just be dark psychological, maybe?
I would say, yeah, surreal, dark psychological is probably more what the area, rather. Like, it has horror elements for sure.
Right.
And I would say even the last bit of the game is quite, like, there are jump scares, some. Like, not really, like, not Five Nights at Freddy's jump scares, but there definitely are a couple. And I think they're very effective, because obviously we don't get them every 10 minutes right. or whatever. And then there's a bunch of Easter eggs. There's a bunch of stuff. I think there's even an amount of things that, like, people are still looking for things in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, even area, once again, there are areas that people just haven't been to or things people haven't seen just based on not going back to somewhere, not doing something. But it feels like a very beefy game.
Yeah, especially if you can beat the game and still have three areas that were inaccessible to you.
Like I was saying, I put about 25 hours into it, and I probably have maybe another 10 hours of content. In addition to another playthrough, like,
right.
which would be the Hikamori route, which is probably, like, and I was not that interested in replaying it, but there are things that now I know how the ending goes, I do sort of want to replay it because I think there will be a lot visually that I missed.
Right.
That just very much hints to everything. And just sort of me going back and thinking, I'm like, oh, there was that. Oh, there was that. Right.
Right.
There are things that I can see and I'm like, oh, okay. And I am interested in figuring out. I think it was worth the wait.
Yeah. I'm going to probably check it out when I get the chance to.
Yes, I think you'd definitely enjoy it. I think if you like a JRPG, or, well, RPG Maker style game, like, obviously, I think this is in the style of Earthbound, Yume Nikki kind of sort of thing. So those are, I guess, JRPGs. Well, Yume Nikki isn't really a fight. It's sort of a walking simulator of the truest kind, to be honest.
But it can be really weird and spooky.
Oh, it's incredibly surreal. Yume Nikki, I think, is a huge inspiration for this, which is fine. But there were parts where I was like, oh, it's Yume Nikki time.
We should almost take some time later on to talk about some RPG Maker games and just some...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this definitely helped, I don't want to say save RPG Maker, but it shows you what an RPG Maker game could be, which is quite beefy and quite different from a lot of other games.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely recommend it if you're in, especially if you're interested in, like, if you liked Earthbound, or if you like Yume Nikki, you will, like, this is a very nice combination.
Right.
So last week, we listened to Boen, My Time, which is actually the end to the bad ending of the game, which is kind of interesting because it was also the trailer music for, like, the first trailer, like, 2014-16 trailer.
Oh, so it's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah. No, it was, I believe, I don't want to say it was made for Yume Nikki. I don't want to say it was made for Omori, but it definitely, like, they got that song for this. But the other song that we'll be listening to is the final duet, and I personally think this is nicer than the actual good ending song. Which is like a little sort of chiptune song, which is fine, but I like this. Thank you.
So, as some may know, I finally got a gaming PC of my own.
I was like, as some may know, my computer video game.
Oh, yeah, I did that too.
Yeah, nobody...
But what game, I have to explain that I did not go and play a new game.
No, why would you?
Why would I do such a thing? I actually went and played a game from 10 years ago, from the grand old time of 2011. I played Portal 2.
Yeah, well, it has held up. It's still a really good game. Like, Portal 2 is great. Like, Portal...
It's considered one of the best games made.
Portal first, Portal 1, I guess.
It's still
good.
Yeah.
But Portal 2, like, the conflict. So Portal, if you don't know Portal is a game where you play as a character. I think her name is Chell. And you're just, like, trapped into this facility where you have to do tests. And you're given a portal gun. Or the portal gun.
The portal gun. You're trapped in the Aperture Science Labs by an evil AI.
And GLaDOS. I feel that this character was inspired by the System Shock character. I forget her name, but the evil robot in System Shock. But I would say GLaDOS is honestly very... almost endearing, right?
Well, she's so, what's the word I'm looking for? Acerbic?
I don't know, but she's hilarious. Like, yeah. I love her. She's very, she is sarcastic and mean, but also, like, and that's what she's supposed to be, right? She's a testing robot, and all that she cares about is testing.
Science.
And she doesn't care about your feelings.
And she will try to trick you into continuing testing and try to bribe you.
Yeah, and so in the next game, it's sort of like... I guess it's basically a continuation of that, but you have a new friend named Wheatley.
Yes, so...
And he's voiced by Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant, and yeah. Ellen McClain does the voice of GLaDOS.
Yeah, and she's done... Yeah, she... I love... Like, such a good role, so enjoyable... So, very iconic character, I feel.
So I feel like I do have to explain the first Portal a little bit, where...
Well, isn't that, that's about it.
You solve puzzles using portals, but the end of the game, you end up escaping? Question mark?
Yeah. Hopefully.
So when you start at Portal 2, you find out that you have not actually escaped.
Yeah.
And GLaDOS is very mad. This is about 9 years later, and she is still upset by the fact that you killed her.
Yes. Well, I mean, wouldn't you? And so you're treated to like a ticket to GLaDOS by Wheatley. Well, he's trying to help you.
He's trying to let you escape because she is mad, and he has the sole role of preserving the human test subjects.
Yeah.
He didn't do a very good job.
One thing you'll note, like, I think Wheatley was a perfect addition because he's sort of like the funny man to GLaDOS's straight man, right? Because GLaDOS is very... She is still funny.
She is.
But in a completely different way from Wheatley. And Wheatley is hilarious. Like, he says amazingly hilarious things. And
he's the moron to her sharp-witted, dark humor.
Yes, that exactly. And he's very funny, but he's... Yeah. Obviously, things change. It's sort of this... It's similar, right? You still have to do your testes. You're still trying to get out.
Yeah,
right?
Like, what I love about this is you do get far more story in this game that you didn't have to dig up the lore in the background.
That's true. Like, I would say in Portal, there was a lot of, like... I don't want to say Easter eggs, because they were... But I would say secrets is probably a better... Like, they purposely had a lot of secrets that weren't...
It encouraged exploration.
It did, but also it was a game where it's like you do the thing and then you get out of the room and you leave because GLaDOS will be mad at you.
And you won't get cake.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's very funny because it's also like I would say it's satirizing like corporations and sort of like, you know, the good of the company you're doing this for, you know.
Like Aperture Science had been established in the 50s. As you find out slowly.
Yes.
And it has that mentality of a company made in the 50s.
Yes, yes. And it's very fun. Like, what? Who's...
Cave Johnson.
Yeah, Cave Johnson, but he's voiced by... he's the J.J. Jonah Jameson. That guy. He's voiced by that guy from Spider-Man. One of the Spider-Mans. You know, you people at home will know who I'm talking about, just Megan doesn't.
Get me pictures of Spider-Man.
Yeah, that guy.
do exactly. things for science. You're yes. doing this for a purpose.
But it, yeah, I really thought that Portal 2 was one, like, I guess, like, obviously it's a 10-year-old game. If you haven't played it yet, you probably should. But yeah, like, at one point, GLaDOS gets transport, like, she's in a potato battery base, or on a potato battery.
And they gave her a new name when she goes in the potato.
Oh, yeah, potatoes, yeah. It's, like, there's just so much fun, you know, and she hates the... It's interesting because we do get way more on GLaDOS as well, because you actually get to have her almost as a companion for a little bit.
And she's great.
She's very funny, and once you get way more backstory, quote, on her, which... is interesting, and I think it's also pretty decent. I also like what she does with, you know, the backstory that she's given and, like, how it ends sort of thing. And Wheatley, like, is a great, like, I don't know if this is spoilers at this point, but he's a great antagonist. Like, he's one of the better antagonists I've seen in a while.
He was pretty much made to make sure that GLaDOS, in all her glorious intelligence,
yeah.
did not go overboard.
Yeah.
He was the controlling
element. He was made to mess things up, even though he thinks he's helping or he's doing the best. And it's very funny because he continues that train of thought throughout the whole thing. Like, even when he gains power, he doesn't be like, nah, I can't actually do this. I don't know how. He's like, no, I will do it because I'm good at it.
Yes.
Like, it's very good. And once again, Stephen Merchant does a really good job of, like, coming up across as, like, the useful idiot.
Yeah.
But also, like, an idiot that is trying to be smart. Right?
I'm listening to classical music while I read books. Can you hear me turn the pages of these books?
Yeah, it's just, it's very good. Portal 2 is a game that I really enjoyed. And then we'll have to... check out the co-op, which I'm really excited to play to mess around with you, because it's going to be...
Don't forget that I'll be able to do the same to you.
I know, yeah, I was just like, it's just going to be painful, isn't it? It's going to be like us playing Yoshi again, and we're just going to pick each other up and be like, why? I just wanted to jump in front of you.
I'm going to lead you into so many thermal discouragement beams.
Oh, yeah.
Lasers.
Thermal disarray, and I'll lead you into so many...
Excursion funnels?
Yeah.
Tractor beams,
or like holes in the ground with spikes.
So if you get the chance to play Portal 2, it is a whole lot of fun. I'm so glad I finally got to play it.
It holds up. It's like a Portal game, like, and that's why I'm like, I would love if we got more games by Valve, because I do think that they do make good games. Like, they make games that are fun and enjoyable and last.
And a lot of the assets that they do get for these games, they do let people muck around with a bit, which is really good.
Yeah, most of the Valve assets are, you have the games, you can utilize the assets pretty much. But yeah.
And the song, again, is by Jonathan Colton. Mm-hmm. It is Want You Gone, and there's two versions, one sung by him and one sung by Ellen McLean. She also did another song all in Latin when she was voicing for the turrets.
Yeah, well, the Caramia.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does, which is one of the, I really like that one.
Really, it's quite sweet.
It's cool. They did a good job, but once again, I don't know if we'll ever see a Portal 3, but I don't, and I would like to see it just because I want to, and I think they could do better.
See, like, when they were making Portal 2, they had the plans for a prequel.
I don't know if I want a prequel. I want to continue my Portals, because I'm sure they could find some way to be like, Chell goes back there for some reason.
Or a new character altogether who just ends up in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Fell down a hole. Yeah. But also, like, are we ever going to get Half-Life 3? I don't know, Megan.
We have Half-Life Alyx.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what we wanted, but that's what we got.
I also don't have VR, so it's irrelevant to me.
We're going to work on that. I just got a gaming PC. We'll work on the VR next.
Excellent.
And in the meantime, for next week, I am playing Devotion.
Oh, yeah, you started that. Devotion is the game by Red Candle.
Yes.
Red Candle. It was the one under controversy for... And once again, I think it was very petty. It was probably something to do with not good, like... Not basically, I think it was like the government was mad at the video game rather than anybody, Like, nobody was mad about it, considering also the thing in the video game was in the file. Like, it wasn't even in the game.
It wasn't even in the game.
That's the other thing. So it's been 2 years since this game was available for purchase because of that controversy, which, once again, I think it was a way to, a form of censorship, yeah. Right? It was basically, these people were trying to speak out, or, well, not even speak out. They put something that was quote-unquote inflammatory that one person doesn't like, so everybody else gets to suffer, huh?
But I'm going to enjoy it for everybody.
Yeah, but now it's here. Yeah. Now it is actually available if you want to support them. You can buy it from their website, which is really nice that they finally are able to have this game, because it looks great. It's really neat. Detention was really cool.
Detention was popular enough now that it has the Netflix movie and TV series.
Yeah, like, which is kind of, we watched the movie. Movie follows the game pretty close, actually.
I'll check out the TV series.
Yeah, it's apparently in the future, which is whatever. The one reason I like Detention is because of the time setting. I thought it went really well. But yeah. I'm excited that they are able to have that out, because it was such a shame and such a foolish, silly reason that game wasn't allowed to be out.
I'll deal with all the jump scares for you.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, you do that.
I will do that. All right, everybody, that's everything we got for you for this week, and keep changing.
Bye. Well, here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice? Oh, how we laughed and laughed. Except I wasn't laughing. Under the circumstances, I've been shockingly nice. You want your freedom taken. That's what I'm counting on. I used to want you dead, but now I only want you gone. She was a lot like you. Maybe not quite as heavy. Now little Carolyn is in view too. One day they woke me up so I could live forever. It's such a shame the same will never happen to you. You got your choice. Did you think I meant you? That would be funny if it weren't so sad. Well, you have been replaced. I don't need anyone now. When I delete you, maybe I'll stop feeling so bad. Go make some new disaster. That's what I'm counting on. You're someone else.